Hello and welcome to UK Carcast, the podcast by non-sport trading car collectors for non-sport trading car collectors. I'm your host Paul Bynes and this is episode 31. Back. Yes, we're back. Welcome back to episode 31, the episode that for a while I thought wouldn't exist. I recorded a certain amount of material with Don Norton and Harris Tozer, who appear in this episode a while back, shortly after the Chicagoland show back in September. Unfortunately, almost immediately after I recorded that material, I went through some personal life changes, which made me seriously consider whether I had the time or the resources to be able to continue doing the podcast. Luckily, that down period wasn't that long, and I got another job, which effectively is the case. So now I'm back to doing the podcast, and not just one podcast, but two podcasts related to the trading card world. This one, UK Carcast, will continue in its current form, and the previously announced second podcast, which is UK Carcast Behind the Canvas, or BTC as I'm going to be calling it from now on. I'm in the process of recording a number of interviews for that one. BTC replaces the annual artist special, which was starting to get a little cumbersome for me to edit. Keen as I was to get as many artists onto the show as possible, it meant that the episodes were starting to get longer and longer and longer, and it was taking longer and longer and longer for me to edit them, and inevitably that means that some interesting material got cut for time reasons only. So Behind the Canvas is going to be one artist per episode, and it's going to be in the region of about 30 to 40 minutes, though if there's enough material to last a bit longer, then it will last a bit longer. It's hopefully going to be an in-depth look at the influences and work of a particular artist in every episode, much the same as we used to do on the artist specials. They're going to be monthly. As I say, I'm recording a number of them at the moment. I have three episodes recorded and waiting to be edited. I've got a tentative arrangement with at least another two artists to appear, and I'm building up the courage to approach a number of other people to see if they'd be interested in coming on as well. These are going to be in addition to and not instead of UK Carcast, so if you're not that bothered with listening to sketch artists, or indeed any artists, I'm planning on opening it out eventually to cover any and all people in the geek art world, then you can still listen to the regular UK Carcast episodes. I will continue to get on people of interest, and where it's relevant to the more general trading card world, I will get artists on, or those connected with art. So I'm hoping that we can still get Chris Kersey, a.k.a. Sketch Collector, onto the podcast to talk about the world of sketch cards occasionally. And, of course, you'll continue to hear Harris Tozer, Don Norton, and any of the other regular contributors. Each show is going to be monthly-ish, one falling between the other, if you see what I mean. First BTC episode will be out a couple of weeks after this episode has been put online, and will feature Fred Wheaton, who's best known probably for his work on various top sets, including Garbage Pail Kids. After that, you'll have to wait and see. This episode, the first half is the edited version of the Chicagoland show report that was originally going to be episode 31, way back in September. It features Don Norton and Harris Tozer talking about 10th Chicagoland show, and also includes a short interview with Mark McHaley that Harris conducted during the show. Harris also recorded an interview with Katie Cook. That interview I couldn't manage to squeeze into UK Carcast, so that is available as a separate download. It'll be in the same RSS feed, and it should still be available on the website and all the usual places that you can find UK Carcast. That's a show exclusive, and that will be downloadable as is, relatively unedited. So if you want to have a listen to Katie Cook talking to Harris Tozer about her life influences and current projects, then please feel free to download that one. The second half of this episode is a short interview I conducted with Harris prior to his coming over for the memorabilia show in Birmingham on the 20th and 21st of November. Just really a look ahead to what Harris is going to have on his stand at the memorabilia show. There's news of a number of exclusive FOMOs and subscription deals that he's going to have available there. Anyway, without further ado, let's get straight into the first half of the podcast, which is the Chicagoland Report. Well, I'm pleased to welcome two old friends of the podcast. Don Norton is old friend number one. He's been on a few times to report on the various shows and to talk about various aspects of trading cards. He's a good friend of mine, and we're very pleased to have him back onto the show. Hi, Don. How you doing?
Okay. How you doing, Paul? Good to be here.
Fine. Yeah, it's great to have you back on. The interloper is Harris Tozer. Harris, of course, is the production manager of Nonsport Update magazine. Hello, Harris.
Hey, how you doing? And it's better to be the interloper than the old friend because, you know, I'm not that old.
What can you do with him, people? What can you do with him? I've got these two on to talk about the recent Chicagoland show organised by Paul Maiello, which was at the beginning of September. Both Harris and Don were at the show, and I asked them on here to tell me and you all about it. So, Chicagoland. I'm guessing it was held in Illinois somewhere, was it?
Yes. It's in Carroll Stream, which is outside of Chicago, actually. Mm-hmm. And it was September 9th through September 12th.
Right. It seems to be something of a feature of a lot of American shows that they're not actually held immediately in the location after which they're named. I mean, Philly, which we're going to be talking about later on as well, isn't actually in Philly anymore. It's in Allentown. But Chicago, this location is close enough to Chicago to justify being called Chicagoland.
That's right. It's actually a suburb of Chicago, one of the many suburbs of Chicago.
So it's within the city anyway, within the city.
Well, not within the city, but it's within the suburbs. Yeah, sure.
It's close enough. Right. So now this is a show. This was a show that Paul Maiello has organized every year. In fact, twice a year, I think. Isn't it?
Yeah. Go ahead, Doug.
No, he's had sometimes as many as three shows a year at this site. But, the September show is usually, or the fall show, and sometimes it's in October. This is a big one.
And I know, Paul, from past reports from both yourself, Don, and from Harris, usually manages to get a whole load of celebrities along to sign and pose for photographs and to appear in special appearances and things like that. This show was no exception, I assume.
No, that's right. He had just an amazing array of artists and guests at the show. There were something like 53 or 55 scheduled artists and actors.
The stack of cards that they usually give out at the door for all the guests and artists, there was 54 cards in the stack.
To keep that in perspective, the Philly show has been going for 20-some years now, and we have been giving out cards at the Philly show for many, many years, and we're at the upcoming show, we'll be giving out cards number 58 and 59, so all these shows were only at 58 and 59, and Paul gave away 54 just the show alone.
These cards are specifically produced for the show as well.
Yeah, each card represents one of the artists or actors, and they have their, you know, either their picture or their artwork on them.
Yeah, and this year, actually, there were 55. There were two of them for Chris Achilles. Mm. One of them was of a more racy nature. The only thing I didn't like about the cards this time is the backs were all the same. They didn't have a lot of information about the artist or celebrity. The backs talk about Paul's charity and about the show itself. I guess it's just because there were so many of them that he couldn't get all the information he needed.
They weren't the only promos being given out. I mean, those were the show promos, but were there other promos, show exclusives, that some of the card companies were giving away?
Yeah. There were. There was Topps had Star Wars Clone Wars card, and Rittenhouse had a couple. There were 258 West Authentic Signatures had a promo that they were getting away for the Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. There were plenty of different cards. Some of the artists had their own cards as well.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of them, too.
Yeah. That's right.
We had two of them for Ghost Whisperer Season 3.
Right. Yeah.
And I think Versacolor had a Betty Page promo out, which is probably the first promo.
We forgot about
that. Yeah, they did. They had two of them. They were very nice.
Mm. I mean, I've seen one of them, which is just a black front with Betty Page in gloss red on the front, which is an absolutely stunning card and is an indication of what the main set's going to look like. I mean, the production quality on these things is outstanding. So, all of this promotional material and the programs and all the celebrities and everything else, did it actually result in a good attendance for the show? What was the show actually like?
It was a lot of fun. It was probably the best show I'd ever been to. What do you think, Harris?
Well, I can't say that it's the best show I've ever been to because I've been to a lot of really good Philly shows. Ha 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 ha. No, it was a great show. We haven't mentioned that it was the 10th anniversary show, so that's why there was so much attention focused on it, but it was a great show. It really was great.
Yeah, certainly Paul's best show.
Paul has in the past organized breakfasts as well. Did that happen this year?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we call it the charity celebrity breakfast. The celebrities are supposed to join you, but usually they have a tendency to sit by themselves, sit with each other. But even so, it's a fun experience because I sat with the Tossers and a few Card Talk people, and we had a great time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been on this podcast a few times now, Don. You could, strictly speaking, technically count as a celebrity yourself. So.
Oh, yeah, well...
And you have to start charging photographs now, Dom.
Kind of a celebrity, and Harris, and Marlon, and Roxanne, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, Marlon and Roxanne are A-list, you're A-list, Harris, or, well, you know, D-list.
I'm hoping to be B-list.
Well, it depends. I mean, the rankings change on the list so frequently. I mean, I think you were heading towards Z-list at one point there, Harris.
I'm
you haven't been on this podcast for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, I'm D-list. I'm with Kathy Griffith. Breath, whatever her name is.
Yeah, that's probably something that'll make sense to the American listeners and not anybody over here.
That's
but
right.
Okay, enough frivolity. Let's hear about the show, the highlights and the low points. And yes, there is an elephant in the room, and it's an elephant covered in fur, but we'll be talking about that in a moment. What were the highlights for each of you of the show?
Harris, you go first.
Sure. Well, I would say the highlight for me was the dinner on Saturday night. It really was a great dinner. Paul had entertainment for us. He had Polynesian dancers. He had Jerry Jewel, who was on The Facts of Life and Deadwood. She did a comedy routine for us. I always enjoy speaking with the artists there. So that was a highlight, too, just meeting some of the new artists for the first time. Some of the artists that were at the show for the first time. It was really neat meeting a few of them, and it was great seeing some of the ones that have been there before. How about you, Don?
Well, I really liked talking with some of the celebrities. Richard Kiel, who played Jaws and James Bond, mm-hmm. He's really a very intelligent man. He's written some books, and I got a book from him, which was kind of a surprise that I didn't know that he had written any books like this. It's called Kentucky Lion, which is about a 1800 Kentucky politician named Cassius Clay.
Oh, right. Okay.
I also enjoyed talking with Carolyn Monroe. What a beautiful lady, you know, and... very interesting to talk to. I had a lot of fun talking with the artists. I stopped by and talked with Randy Martinez and Mark McKaylee. Grant Gould is one of my favorites. And he's got a new sketch album called Inglorious Lizards. On the cover, there's some Clone Wars bounty hunter lizards. You know, he'll do a sketch on the inside of the book for you. And mm-hmm. I said, how about James Bond? And so he did a really nice sketch of the current James Bond. John Zopp was there. He's one of my favorites. And Warren Martinek. Yeah, you know, just talking to the people. We had a nice trading session on Saturday. Mm-hmm. A bunch of card talkers got together. And, you know... Everybody is really kind of generous, you know. So someone will look through your box and say, oh, you got a bunch of these. These are neat. Oh, take them. Go ahead. Take them. You can have them. John Doyle had some extra boxes of Sad Littles. He'd been buying them because he wanted the sketches. Mm-hmm. And he had extra boxes of the regular cards. We went ahead and he gave us his extra sets. And the Sad Littles are really, really nice little cards. I had not seen them before.
Yeah. I've had Nathan on this show before now. Is that the Legends and Lore cards?
Legends and Lore, and then there was a Fairy Tale set.
Yeah. I mean, those are really nice. They're all art sets, and they're produced by a lot of artists. Indeed, some of the artists at the Chicago Glen Show probably contributed to that set. So they were interesting cards.
Yeah, I have to just add one thing on that. That Don said, we were set up next to Mark McKaylee at the show, and Mark is just... he's an outstanding guy. It was great to talk to Mark all show long, and I really enjoyed that.
I'm glad you mentioned talking to Mark, because you were actually able to record a short interview for the podcast with Mark,
right?
Which I'm going to bring in now.
Oh, sounds good.
Okay.
We're here with Mark McKaylee, the Chicagoland Entertainment Collectors Expo.
Hello, Harris.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. How's the show going for you?
Great. Always a good time. Paul always takes care of us. I'm probably... more well-fed here than my own home, so...
Yeah?
No complaints.
That's true. You really do get a lot of food here, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So, what are you doing here at the show?
I'm peddling my wares and trying to help promote the variant issue. NSU, as you all know, with the variant mm-hmm. cover, with the rabid Ewoks, which also includes the special Star Wars costume card.
Right. How's everything going with that?
Great. People have been very responsive, not only to that, but it's one of the few shows I've come with new art, and people have responded to that well as far as seeing some things they haven't seen before, and everyone's had nothing but kind words and support.
Okay.
So it's a show with lots of love.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you keep coming back year after year.
Yeah.
You really like the show and Paul, or...
I do. As far as I'm very fortunate that I'm local, so I can support the show more than if I were out of state or something like that. And it's a charity that I really do feel strongly about, especially because I'm a father. Mm-hmm. And so anything I can do, you know, I will always help Paul out and the show as much as I can.
Okay. What are you working on right now?
Well, I just finished up a whole bunch of Star Wars work. We just came back from Star Wars Celebration, which is an event in itself, as you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be working on the upcoming Betty Page set.
Okay.
With VersaColor. Always some Star Wars things.
For Tops?
In the works. I'm in talks with Tops right now as far as what exactly I may or may not be doing for Galaxy 6, mm-hmm. Which could be my last major set for quite a while I concentrate on things like covers and limited edition artwork and things like that. I always have a love for the Star Wars thing, and I can't get enough of it, but as far as it's time to kind of switch gears every once in a while and get back to some of the comic book stuff and even go in a different direction, like some landscapes and things like that I haven't been able to dip my paintbrush into.
Mm-hmm. You have any other projects you're working on right now that are non-card related?
Right now I have about 3 deadlines on some little projects that I have to get to immediately this week, which actually are all card related, as far as I have been doing like a very small amount of cards for Fivefinity. Mm-hmm. I'm doing something for Axebone's set, the treasure chest and booty, trying to contribute some dignity to that set.
Okay.
Since I'm not a cheesecake guy. Mm-hmm. And I am doing a couple more pieces of charity work for FX International, which is a show in Florida.
Okay.
And they have a poker tournament, and they actually have original art on the poker cards. So mm-hmm. I'm doing a couple of those.
That's interesting. Your style is really unique. How did you ever develop this style?
It's been a very organic, natural process. I mean, when I first got into the whole card thing, my first set was DC Legacy, so I was doing comic book style stuff. And then my second set was Heroes Season 1 for Tops, and I wasn't quite sure how I was going to approach it, if I was going to do more comic book-like, if I was going to do it realistic. And I come from a commercial art background, so I was actually trained in this black and white and pencil style to do portraits, and I hadn't used it for such a long time. And I thought, well, that would be perfect. I'll do it for that. And it was kind of like riding a bicycle. And since then, as far as it just developed to where the style became even more angular and separated just in the past couple of years. And so it's just something that really kind of developed naturally.
Okay. Very good. Well, I think that's about all the questions I have for you. You have anything else to add?
Just that the Chicago Entertainment... I always call it CECE because I can never remember exactly.
It's a Chicago Entertainment Collectors Expo.
Yes, as far as...
It's a mouthful.
We really need more people to come out to these shows.
Yeah,
I feel so strongly about this show, and I see, you know, the people, not only the guests that attend, but as far as a lot of the collectors are the same people... that I see each and every year. We get some new faces here and there, but as far as we really need the support of people from the rest of the country, it's a great show. The card dealers are very supportive of the show. They come out every year, even though they know there's not going to be thousands and thousands of people coming out. And it's for a great cause. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of those shows that, this is the 10th year, as you know.
Right.
And if we keep this going, by the 20th year, I can see it in a larger venue, like some of these other shows. What would have happened with some of these other shows. And I'd love to see that happen with this show, because it's one of the few shows that I can count on my hand that really has heart. Mm-hmm. And again, it's for a good cause. So we really need everyone's support.
And nobody works harder than Paul Molero.
I know. It's amazing. I mean, he, no matter what's going on, he is tireless as far as in his efforts to put on a good show.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Harris.
Okay.
That was Harris talking to Mark McHaley, and I have to extend my thanks to Harris for volunteering to record interviews. You did record another interview with Katie Cook, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I talked to Katie during the show on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And that interview with Katie Cook is available alongside this episode as a separate download. So if you go back to wherever it was you downloaded this episode from, you should find there's an exclusive interview by Harris Tozer with Katie Cook. Don, is this, as far as you can recall, the first show
that artists have been at Chicagoland.
Oh, no, he's had artists at most of his shows. Thinking back to the early ones that I went to, he probably had more celebrities.
We did mention this briefly on your last appearance, but I'm going to ask Don about this.
What, you mean the Ewok in the room?
The fur-covered elephant in the room, which is, of course, the first ever officially licensed Star Wars memorabilia card, which was produced by Topps, illustrated by Mark McHaley, and contained... ethically sourced, as far as I'm aware, though Peter may well disagree, Ewok fur. Don, you were one of the first to see this up front and in person at the show. Was it as good as expectations suggested?
Oh, yeah, I think so. It's a nice-looking card. I think Harris was expecting a big crowd at the beginning when it opened up the special issue sales. And we didn't have that, but there was a good steady stream of people coming in all weekend picking up these issues, and you didn't have any extras, right, Harris?
No, we did not, yeah. I you're right, Don. I expected a line, and we did get a line of a few people, but as you said, it was pretty much steady sales all show long.
Yeah. I believe I saw somewhere that the one or two people were actually taking the cards along to Mark McHaley and getting him to autograph them. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I think a couple of people did do that. I don't know if I'd want to do that. You know, I'd want to keep the card just in mint condition.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I know there's a few people that fall on both sides of that argument. I mean, I've seen it happen where people say, well, hang on, adding an autograph to that card devalues the card.
Yeah.
Which, if you're thinking strictly of the value, I suppose, which you have to on something this rare.
I did see from Card Talk, Kennywood, he had gotten his card signed by Mark. I think he actually had pre-purchased two copies. He was one of the lucky ones who was able to purchase two. And so he saved one unsigned and got one signed. He had the best of both worlds.
Yeah. The Ewok card wasn't the only charity-inspired or charity-assisting product available for sale at the show. There was also the Treasure Chest project, which Paul has been promoting fairly recently. Don, can you go into a bit more about that one? What was that all about?
Well, Paul had amassed a collection of art from, I believe it was like 600 artists from around the world. These were sketch cards. They were in color and black and white, drawings, paintings, all kinds of things. I know that Chris Henderson had done something where there was like a fold-out paper dolls of Queen Amidelia with all her different costumes. And some of the things were very creative. What he did was he had handmade boxes made that would hold 50 cards in top loaders, and then these were sold for, I believe, $395. Which actually is a pretty good price, considering you get 50 sketch cards.
Right. An average per card is pretty good, and there were some exceptionally good artists involved with that set.
Oh, definitely. Mark McHaley, Ken Kelly, Chris Aquilos. Most of the sketch artists that were there had submitted something. You know.
I think he even had a couple of cards from Billy D. Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? So it wasn't restricted to artists?
Well, it was yeah, I'd say 99% artists, but he did have a couple of Billy D. Williams cards in there.
Right. Which would have made a great find for Star Wars. Huh?
Marianne from Gilligan's Island.
Don Wells?
Don Wells had done some sketches, too.
Wow.
But the thing is, nobody ever saw these.
Right.
They were hidden. You didn't know what you were going to get in your box. During the course of the show, I didn't see any sketches. I didn't see any boxes. I know a couple of people bought some. Mike Bach from Card Talk bought two boxes. And, he took them home and said, oh, yeah, I got some great sketches in there. And he was telling me about them. And I said, well, let's see them. He says, well, I left them at home. But, during the course of the weekend, we didn't see any of these things, actually. And I think I would have liked to have seen some just to drool over them. I do have a couple coming, and Harris does too.
And you should mention that those are coming to us individually because Sci-Fi Cards, who's a retailer, broke down, actually purchased one of the boxes with the intent of selling them individually to NSU Card Talk members. So,
Okay.
He's offered them for sale for $10 per sketch, which is basically the $8 price that it works out to be, plus a couple of dollars for postage. And so he's basically selling them at cost. This way, individuals like Don and I can participate without, you know, spending $400 for the full-blown...
which is a lot of money in one hit to pay out for a chance on what you might get, but... it's still a pretty good deal when you break it down.
Right, so. Quite a few.
Yeah, and a high proportion of that purchase price would have been going towards the charity of the show, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I believe he did take out his expenses, but after that, all the rest is going to the Treasure Chest Foundation.
Right, and what does that support?
That supports children who children with cancer who have to go into hospitals for testing. When a child gets a test, they get some kind of incentive, like a toy, to make it a little bit easier for them. It was started by a woman by the name of Colleen Kissel, and her son had cancer, and she felt that there was a need for an organization like this. And actually, her son is doing well today, and he spoke at the dinner about the organization and need for support of it.
Yeah, so a step up from the see the doctor, get a lollipop idea,
exactly.
And definitely a good idea for encouraging children who, let's face it, if they are ill with something slightly nastier than the common cold, they're not going to be awfully keen on being prodded and poked and zapped and x-rayed and all the rest of it.
One extra thing I should note is, as part of the program at the party, Paul handed out some awards. He gave out awards to people that helped with the various projects, but Colleen, she gave him something of her own. She announced that the next center to open would be opened in Paul's name, which is a really good honor. They've opened about, I believe it's around 19 centers in hospitals around the Midwest and maybe on the East Coast as well, but the next one that opens will be opened in Paul Molero's name for all the work that he has done for the organization. So that's really pretty cool that she was able to announce that at the dinner.
You know, it's a charity that, I mean, I know Paul has supported for quite some time as far as the shows are concerned, isn't it?
Yeah, he has supported it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years or so.
Mm-hmm. I think longer than that.
Has it been?
Yeah, Don
would know because he wrote about it in the story.
Yeah, if you look in that issue.
How long do you think it's been, Don?
Well, it was, I think, 98 or 99 or something
so like that. We're talking over 10 years
now. And over all that time, I mean, obviously Paul has made a major contribution through all of his work and fundraising activities, and it's good to see him being honoured in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Don Harris, thank you for coming on to talk about the Chicagoland show. It's interesting to hear what both of you had to say about it. You obviously both enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, hey, it's always a pleasure. Hopefully we'll be able to get both of you on at the same time soon. I've had one or other of you on various episodes. I think this is the first time we've had both of you on together.
Yeah, I think so too. And thank you very much for having us on. It's been fun.
It's been great fun. Glad to speak to both of you again. Well, I've been speaking to Don Norton, who's a regular contributor to Nonsport Update Magazine, and to Harris Tozer, production manager of the aforementioned Nonsport Update Magazine. And you can find more information about the magazine at nonsportupdate.com. Well, it's welcome back to Harris, recorded at a later date from the earlier interview. Harris, hi, how are you doing again?
Good, Paul, how are you doing?
Well, I'm tired, but there's reasons for that I'm not going into on the podcast.
Okay.
Work-related. Harris, reason I've recorded you again for this episode is because you're coming over to Memorabilia again this year.
That's right, I am.
What are you going to have set up this year?
Well, we'll have our usual assortment of stuff. We have, you know, magazines, books, things like that. We'll have the current issue available for sale there, which is the new one that just came out about a week ago with Green Hornet on the cover.
Is that going to be ahead of people with subscriptions?
Let's hope this is the year that the subscription copies get to the UK first, but we'll see.
So the latest issue with Green Hornet, obviously, and
we'll have some back issues too. We'll have, hopefully, if my stock turns up, we'll have back issues of some of the issues that have come out since last year, since the last Memorabilia show. And we'll have our promo card encyclopedia and our encyclopedia of non-sports. And we'll have the new wrestling guide that we're selling. And also we're selling the Simpsons comic book with the Marge Attacks cards in it. We're selling some of those as well.
Now, this is a comic book that's it's actually been mentioned on Card Talk a few times. There's a thread on there about this.
Right.
It's a special issue of the comic book, but it has inserted some cut-out and keep-style trading cards.
That's right. Yeah, there are two or three Marge Attacks, instead of Mars Attacks, cards inside. The cover is a Mars Attack parody, as are the cards, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really pretty cool. It's definitely something that any Mars Attack fan would want to own.
And the wrestling guide you mentioned earlier, I don't think we've discussed this on the podcast, so do you want to go into a little more detail about what that is?
Well, that's a book that a gentleman from Canada put out. It's all on wrestling trading cards. We get a lot of questions at the magazine for prices of wrestling trading cards, and we only have a few of the wrestling sets in the guide. Wrestling's one of those things that kind of straddles between sports and non-sports, and the sports card publications don't cover it so well, nor do the non-sport publications. So this gentleman has put out a book all on wrestling since the first ones, I guess, in the 50s to today, and it's pretty comprehensive.
It comes up occasionally on Girl Talk. People say, why don't you mention wrestling cards?
Yeah,
they're not sports
you're right.
Cards,
you know? It does come up.
So it's a very odd little category to categorize.
Yeah, well, there's a few things like that. I mean, you have like things like bowling cards and golf cards, Olympics. Those are all kind of things that outside of the boundaries of the major sports that really don't get covered in the sports card publication.
It's not just stuff you sell. And I know a lot of people go to meet you.
Hey,
well, they go to meet me, but they accidentally meet you.
That's right. That's right.
And you will be signing autographs on the stand. $20. No, no photographs. Body parts extra. I'm semi-joking now. I'm sure if someone came up to you and asked you to sign something, you would, as long as it wasn't a petition.
No one's going to come up to me and ask me to sign anything.
Hey, you are an internet celebrity.
I don't think so.
Fairly low-grade one, but you have fans. You will be having some other stuff available as well. I know Cardstuff has announced some show-exclusive promos. Anything you can talk about there?
Yeah, we'll have actually three different versions of Cult Stuff's Sherlock Holmes and Victorian Crimes P1 promo. We'll have a regular card to give out to everybody. We'll have a red foil version of the card that you'll get if you subscribe or renew your subscription to Non-Sport Update, and we do have a subscription and renewal special at the show. It's show only for memorabilia only, and we have a bronze version of the card that you get if you donate £5 to Great Ormond Street Hospital Children's Charity.
Right.
We'll give you a bronze card, and we'll also enter you to win a chance at one of the Chicago Land Star Wars Ewok magazine.
Oh, one of the variant issues,
yes.
Exactly. So that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, give us £5 for the charity. All the money will go to the charity. Get the bronze card and a chance at winning the variant issue.
Yeah. I believe Jason's going to be at the show, not taking
yes,
a stand.
No,
I believe he's going to be visiting. So
he'll be there walking around, and he's going to be giving us some other promos to give away.
Well, I'm hoping to get Jason onto the show to talk about his sets in an upcoming episode.
Oh, that would be great.
So we'll be able to get him on. But that's not the only promos that are going to be given away at the show. I understand that a certain former contributor to Cardcast is also going to have a card to give away.
That's right. Yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard that if you are unlucky enough to find Wolfie at the show, you will be forced to take one of his Biddy Page Private Collection promo cards. Actually, the cards are great, but meeting Wolfie, I don't know.
Not so. Not so. No. Yes. You have to go up to Wolfie and say, your name is Wolfie and I claim my Biddy Page promo. No, you don't. Well, you do. But
you just need to find Wolfie and ask him nicely for a Biddy Page private collection card that Versicolor Productions has generously given Wolfie to give away at the show.
Right. Okay. And it's at the NEC in Birmingham. So do you know which hall it is this year, Harris?
You know, I do not. I do not. And I understand there's some other things going on at the NEC this weekend, like a model railroad show. But, I don't know which hall we're in. I do know I do know what table we're at, but I don't know what hall we're in.
Which tables are you going to be having this year, Harris? You're going to be set up next to Paul Hart again.
That's right. Yeah, we'll both be in section A2, and we'll be at tables 13 and 14 in section A2. So as you come in the main entrance, head to your right, and I believe we're like the third section back.
So not too badly set up.
No, it's pretty close to the front. I think, as I said, I think as you come in, you go to the right, you'll see an information point immediately to your right as you enter. Behind that is section A1, and then we are in section A2 right behind that.
And it's worth looking, by the way, for anybody going in, is obviously your first port of call should be the NSU stand.
Well, thank you.
But it's worth looking at the information point, because in past years they have had freebies going.
Yeah, they always have freebies, and sometimes there's trading card related collectibles on that stand, or things that, you know, would be of interest to trading card collectors.
Yeah. I mean, card companies don't do so much of the sales sheets anymore, but you'll frequently find odd little bits of CCG or TCG cards floating around there. And in the past, they've had CDs of soundtrack samplers.
Right, or maybe
game samplers.
T-shirts, or pins, or things like that.
Yeah, they have all that sort of stuff, or as we call them, badges, and sticker sheets and all that sort of stuff. So there's usually some interesting stuff to be had there. So it's very well worth watching out for that. And
it does, change too, so you should stop by maybe a couple of times throughout the day.
One of the other reasons, apart from obviously meeting Harris and reveling in his celebrity, and resubscribing or subscribing for the first time if you're not a subscriber already to NSU and buying some of the back issues and picking up some of the books and all the rest of the bits and pieces that he has there, is that it's usually the focal point for a lot of the Cult Talk members. They huddle there and meet up and chat. And that's a useful opportunity to catch up with what is available and where.
That's right.
The card talkers tend to get there and say, oh, have you seen this stand is doing boxes of this for £5 or £10 or whatever?
Right.
Or I saw this autograph over there, or I saw that sketch over there. And it's a useful place to meet up, if for no other reason than you find out where the bargains are.
That's right.
Unless Wolfie's found the bargains, in which case he keeps them to himself.
Well, that's true. But we can at least point you towards Wolfie, and then you can go beat him up for your promo card.
Betty Page promo card, exactly. So you said you're doing a subscription deal. Any information about what that is going to be this year, or is that going to be a very last-minute thing dependent on the currency?
No, we've set the price. It's £28 to renew.
Right.
Normally, as you know, we have a $60 rate for renewals, but we're doing a special at Bermville for subscriptions and renewals of £28.
Right, so if you want to renew your subscription, probably the best opportunity to do it. It's usually a saving on the regular.
Yeah, it's definitely a saving. Over $60 is definitely a savings. And you can.
And it's usually the case that if you start a subscription on the day, you can either start it with the next available issue, or you can take the current issue and start it with that.
That's right.
And of course, taking up a subscription makes you eligible for the red variant promo card.
The red foil, right, that's right. You will get one of those as long as supplies last.
And that is literally going to be at the show only.
That's at the show only. And from what I understand, there's a very limited number of those made. I think it's 100 or less. So, again, that's while supplies last. So you'll have pretty limited edition promo.
Well, that's going to be fun, because we haven't seen anything like that since the wonderful days of Inkworks and the FOA cards and the all variants on that. So.
Yep.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to talk about as far as memorabilia is concerned or coming over? I know we're planning to meet up shortly after memorabilia. You're coming down to London to...
that's right. Yeah, looking forward to
your usual record store stuff.
That's right. Yeah, looking forward to that. And now I think you've covered all the bases with memorabilia, but hope to see a lot of collectors there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, unfortunately you won't see me, but hopefully you'll see a lot of the regulars. I know there's a lot of regulars planning on turning up at the show. So it's usually an interesting show to go to.
Yeah, it should be. And I'll be tweeting about it too on Twitter.
Hey! And obviously we'll have you back onto the show to talk about how memorabilia went for you and to catch up on the world of a non-sport trading card. It's been a bit of a gap since we last had an episode, I know, but hopefully we'll be able to get you back on to talk about all things card.
That would be great. We'll have a memorabilia wrap-up.
Yeah. But yeah, so, okay, Harris, well, thank you for coming on again to talk about memorabilia. Memorabilia is on the 20th to 21st of November at the NEC in Birmingham. And you can catch Harris in Section A2 on...
Tables 13 and 14.
And unfortunately, none of us are going to be there to teach you any new words, but I'm sure Wolfie will stand in and teach you something interesting, which probably will be banned from using.
That's right.
They may not let you back into the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, thanks for coming on, Harris. Great to chat to you as ever.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, no problem. I've been speaking to Harris Tozer, production manager of Nonsport Update magazine, who's coming over to Birmingham next week. And if you'd like more information about Nonsport Update magazine, you can visit their website, which is nonsportupdate.com. My thanks to Harris for twice appearing in this podcast, and also to Don Norton and to Mark McHaley and Katie Cook for being interviewed by Harris and agreeing to have their interviews included in the UK Carcast world. I'm extremely grateful to the pair of them. In fact, I'm extremely grateful to all the contributors to the podcast, both in this episode and in the past. Next episode you'll find downloadable from the UK Carcast world is going to be the first episode of Behind the Canvas, BTC. You should find that a couple of weeks after this episode goes online. It will be clearly marked as BTC number one, BTC number two, BTC number three, whatever, with the artist name, so you should be able to tell which one you should be downloading if you want to ever listen to those. I really do hope you do, and I'd be interested in hearing your feedback on those, and also be interested to hear from listeners to the BTC service to see what artists they'd like to see included. I can't promise to get them, because obviously artists are busy people and they have deadlines to meet, and they're not necessarily going to be available for interviews by phone to some British geek who hasn't possibly never even heard of them, but I will do my very best to get them onto the podcast. I should like to take this opportunity to thank everybody who offered sympathy and support to me in the hiatus that UK Carcast went through. I did post online a few times about what actually happened to me. I was made redundant from my job because the company effectively went bust. Luckily, I found another job within a relatively short space of time, but in that short space of time, I was in a pretty bad place, and I had a lot of help and support from members of the trading car community and elsewhere. So I'd just like to take this opportunity to say thank you to you all. I didn't realise quite how many really good friends I had out there until this stuff happened, so thank you very much. As something of a payback, I feel it only fair to see if I can, in return, help somebody else out there who, in the trading car community, who is in need of assistance, and that person is Leia Mang. Leia's been going through some bad times at the moment. She is a highly talented artist who's contributed to a number of sets from Tops and Regent, amongst others. She's at the moment in the danger of losing her home. She's in need of funds to help her get through that. There is a website that's been set up by her friends and fans, and they're asking for donations via PayPal. The donation is $3. I mean, it's not a huge amount of money, but as much of that as possible will help Leia to keep a roof over her head. If you're interested in donating to that, then the website is Help Leia, that's H-E-L-P-L-E-A-H dot YolaSite, that's YOLASITE.com. There will be a link on the UK Carcast website. UK Carcast is recorded using Pamela for Skype on a Windows XP PC. It is edited using Audacity and compiled using GarageBand on an Apple Mac G4. Recordings made using a Logitech USB headset. MP3 hosting is courtesy of the Internet Archive at archive.org. Email services provided by Gmail. Other web services provided by 1&1 and Amen World. Music provided by Sapphire Moon. UK Carcast is released under a Creative Commons license. For more information about a Creative Commons license, please see the website at carcast.co.uk. That's it for episode 31. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the edited highlights of what was possibly going to be the lost episode of UK Carcast, now saved for posterity. Next episode will be an interview with Harris looking back at the memorabilia show. I'm unfortunately not going to be there, but Harris is, so I'm looking forward to hearing his comments on that. And if any of you are going to the show and would like to record your thoughts in an interview on the next episode, please do get in touch. Email address is, as always, ukcarcast@googlemail.com, or go to the website and you'll find ways to communicate with me there. You'll find UK Carcast on Twitter, which is at UK Carcast. And if you do a search on Facebook, you'll find there's a user group and a fan page, I think. I'm not sure. But you'll find us on there anyway. That's it for the episode. Remember, one pack is not enough. Sometimes it just isn't.